The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It is June 27th, 2022. This is Atlanta United FC Weekly, a Home Before Dark podcast.
Nice.
What do you got? Liquid Death?
Yep.
Is that the still or the sparkling?
It is the still.
Mm.
I'd like the still because I can just chug it.
Yeah, black can for sparkling, right?
Yep. I do like the sparkling. I've tried it too a few times, but I like to switch it up between like LaCroix and still water.
I still haven't had it. I feel like what is the carbonation level like on one of those? How does it compare to LaCroix?
I think LaCroix is pretty high in terms of carbonation.
That's fair. Yeah.
I would put Liquid Death down a little bit, and I would also say that it has finer bubbles, if that makes
okay.
any sense.
Yep. That's
how I would.
Is connoisseur. Now that Kevin's not here. Yeah, Joe Johnstone. I thought Tim had no shirt for a second. No, but Joe, you should appreciate. I have my Ted Lasso shirt on.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes Old Navy and Target, they have good graphic tees. And sometimes my wonderful wife will come home with some for me. Anyway, thank you for joining us live on this. Thank God it's raining Monday evening in Atlanta. I don't know about you, Dan, but the old man kicked into me. I was like, we need rain. My grass is dying.
Yeah.
This is very, very stereotypical dad feelings. I feel like probably weren't there a year ago. Yeah.
But. My grass is dying, Tim, and I need it to rain because I can't be asked to like roll out my irrigation system, which consists of about 8 hoses. And mm-hmm. 4 to 6 sprinkler heads.
So. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I'm Tim Herb. As always, I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Mr. Dan James.
Hello.
On the screen next to me. We are not joined tonight by our other lovely co-host, Mr. Kevin Bradley. As somebody had foretold in the trap, the Atlanta United training staff got to him, and he is out for the count. I think 6 to 8 weeks. I think that's mm-hmm. the going rate for an Atlanta United injury.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
I was speculating how he got a strained throat. I just don't know what that could be, but that it's got him out for like a number of weeks. So.
Yeah, out and about. I think it's the phrase. We have the lovely folks in the trap. I keep saying lovely. I'm just going to keep saying it. We got Richard Gordon. We got Kendrick Brock. We got Elliot Beaven. Joe Johnstone making an appearance. The aforementioned Joe Johnstone. Steven Perales. Brittany S. Nathan Explosion. Thank you. Yeah, thank you guys for joining. Yeah, we're a little late. Sometimes life gets in the way, and we gotta make do. You know what I mean? It happens.
Sometimes life gets in the way, Tim, and sometimes half your team gets injured.
Yeah, what do we do, man? Like, Brittany has in the trap, so already just throw it out there. The season is kind of done, isn't it? I put in the description is like we're going to be talking about the shambolic loss at Toronto and then preview the two matches. We absolutely don't think we're winnable in the stretch that we have coming up. So, like, our one game the three of us had consensus on, that we were going to get 3 points out of. We got 0 points out of.
It's not. We had five guys that you would consider starters in the entire lineup with Joseph, Marcelino, Luis. I'd consider Hyman a starter and Franco. And arguably, I guess Ibarra is a starter, but I mean, I can't remember if coming in, if he was like considered, it was him or Rosetto. I don't know. Either way, 5 to 6.
Yeah, it's hard to tell, right? Like, they've been interchangeable.
But then, you know, we've got injuries on our depth now, and our bench is looking pretty thin. We had Shuttleworth, DeJohn, Mikey, and then Rosetto, Sadich, Chol, which is good to have him back. I think it
was that his first appearance since like spring.
It was, yeah. He got injured against in Mexico. I think it was one of the last games we played there. He got injured in the second half, which is a real weird, chippy friendly game, which they streamed through the team's website. And I think there were two red cards in that game for preseason. And then Dom. This was, I don't know. What were your thoughts, Tim, before I?
No, I mean, I agree with you. It's tough, right? So like you look at that lineup, this is the thing I keep wrestling with. And it's the thing I think that allows the Gonzalo Pineda haters to kind of seep into my brain and have me question, are they right? Like, yeah. No, I mean, I've been hearing it for at least a year. I feel like actually has he been here a year? He has, right? Like just about.
I think he's coming up to a year in charge.
Okay.
Cause we had Heinze, remember? We had Heinze
until Rob Valentino for a little bit. So, I mean, give or take about a year. I mean, it's tough because I always want to give, I'm not trigger happy at all whenever it comes to personnel in general in soccer, because it's so much acclimation needs to take place, especially like with players, especially, but with managers, maybe even more so. And it's hard to really tell whether or not he's what parts of our performances, our poor performances this year, are due to him and not due to the fact that, I mean, we're just notching the bedpost every week with another injury. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that's the right term. I probably shouldn't use that phrase, but it's tough because you're right. I look at this lineup. Caleb Wiley, very impressed with him. Definitely showed his inexperience and his lack of play. I mean, his lack of chemistry, I think, with some of the squad this Saturday. And it's fine. Like, you're going to have those growing pains, and it's not like you're asking him to come in to be a world beater. You're really bringing him in to deputize Andrew Gutman during his injury spell. So, I feel like he's doing basically what you ask him to do, but Saturday wasn't a great showing for him. I mean, Aiden McFadden, there were times where I was like, okay, I can see, like at the beginning of the game, I think like some of the runs, some of the 1-2s he was playing on the line, I think it was with, I don't know if it was with Joseph, he was playing those on the right side, right. But, I was like, okay, he looks like a quality MLS player. And then there are other times I was like, he looks out of his depth. Like there was a bit of inconsistency, but again, deputizing like two levels down, right? He's a call up that's playing that it's basically a third string right back. Right. I mean, Brooks Lennon's out. You're missing Ronald Hernandez. Exactly. And both of those guys were playing relatively well. I think both of them had maybe one or two games where you kind of scratch your head, but for the most part, they're MLS starters. I mean, I can go on and on, but, and it's tough because it starts from the back. And then, I mean, you look at Joseph, he probably didn't have, he was kind of non-impactful in a lot of ways, but it's hard when he's kind of playing downstream from everybody behind him. Like it all starts behind him. Right. I mean, I don't know. It's tough. I don't at all envy the position that Gonzalo Pineda's in right now, especially being a guy who was brought in as the guy to lead this franchise, but he's been just hit with obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. And it's,
yeah,
it, it,
It sucks.
It absolutely sucks. And it's not just there's injuries, there's transfers, there's scheduling. Like it's everything. And I know those, you know, those things are things that managers have to deal with. But at this scale, like you don't really see. And we can harp on the injuries all we want. Like people can say we're beating a dead horse, but there's a new one every week. So it's tough, man. It's really tough.
I don't get that reference.
It's an old Vine. There's this Brittany S saying they need some milk. There's an old Vine, this guy falling in a parking lot, landing, I think, on his back or on his head, like on the concrete, and some lady just shouting, he needs some milk. Cause like he certainly broke some bones in that fall.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So it's a pretty great one. I'm not doing it any justice.
Yeah. It reminds me of a advert when I was little with these kids wanting to be Ian Rush, and they could be Ian Rush if they drank some milk. yeah. Joseph played really deep, which I guess he does from time to time, you know. I think Cisneros, Mourinho, and Araujo all, like on average, just played further forward than Joseph did. So he wasn't able to affect the play very much at all. I remember having a couple of good aggressive through balls for, I think, Cisneros in particular to run onto. But other than that, it was pretty nondescript performance from him. He had 22 touches. He had a shot off target. He had 11 accurate passes. Yeah. That's going to happen in some games, but it's like, it's just, there's no like spark there. I feel like the team should have done better in general, even with the players that we had. It was just kind of slow. I feel like Araujo's goal was like the one bright spark that I felt in the game, which I thought it was a dirty goal. I loved it.
It was absolutely outstanding. Like just the goal, like, and I feel like we keep saying it's like his goals are usually like, he doesn't just do tap-ins, you know what I mean? Like, he's not just hitting tap-ins. Like, the goal the week before, or the weekend before, he just ripped the weirdest, like, volley that I think of. It's just not a position or a ball that you would see somebody take one time, at least successfully, in making. But, yeah, mm-hmm. He at least makes it entertaining. He's...
Absolutely. He's one of the most... Him and Almeida... Well, Almeida is more entertaining, I feel like, because he's more consistent, whereas Araujo is... extreme entertainment, but only like maybe 30% of the time.
I still think he's probably too talented for MLS.
Yeah, it's just the consistency, though.
It is true, and maybe that's why he was a bench player for Lille.
When he's on, Tim, I totally agree with you. I mean, he could be MVP, but it's just not there all the time, which is kind of annoying. Frustrating game. I felt like, I think on the first goal, McFadden showed his inexperience. It's not like he hasn't been playing with the twos or anything, but he just didn't close down. I think it was Nelson on the goal. So Nelson had plenty of time, and Osorio was able to just pick up the ball and skip past and knock it right into the goal, which was kind of frustrating after Campbell had given it away.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good goal. I mean, I'm not gonna slate them because, I mean, Osorio has a split second to make that cut on to cut inside on Alan Franco and get a ball on frame, and he does it beautifully. Mm-hmm. It's like I can be mad at it. Like it's Toronto, granted, it's in Toronto, but like, yeah, I don't know. It's maybe they're turning a corner. I don't know. It's always hard to tell because I don't know what team we are, like what team's showing up for us week after week. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
In terms of turning corners, I don't think it's not going to be anytime soon
for Atlanta.
For us.
Look at the confidence they have. I was talking about Toronto. Yeah. I mean, Pozuelo had a good game against us. He missed a couple like really good opportunities at granted, like tight angles on frame. But I mean, they look like they're getting confidence. They have some attacking power, it looks like. And then I think Lorenzo Insigne is going to be making his debut soon, right?
Yes, in when the transfer window opens in
July 1st, right?
So I think it's Saturday. The 8th of, yeah.
8th or no. Of,
no. So
next,
it's
next Saturday. Next weekend. Yeah. That's going to be, I think he's going to absolutely destroy MLS.
He could. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I'm not as familiar with him. I've heard he's an incredibly good player. Yeah, it's been a lot of hype around him.
He's only 31 years old, coming over from Napoli too. I mean, I feel like he's one of their better players in the Euro too.
Right. So. Oh yeah, that's
Italy.
True.
Yeah. So I mean, he's 31 coming over. Like, yeah, he's I can imagine. But giving them that confidence coming in, I don't know. We have another transfer to talk about later. That's maybe even crazier than that. But yeah.
It's a boyo from the valley.
Yeah, unfortunately. Unfortunately.
All right, let's not get distracted.
Yes.
Yes. I it's gonna be a while before I feel like we see any improvement. I'm not hopeful against the Red Bulls. I'm not hopeful against New York City. I don't want to say the season's done. I feel like it's just kind of par for the course right now. Maybe we make the playoffs, but it's just been absolute brutal. I mean, no, I have no idea what the statistics are, but it's extremely rare that a team suffers this many serious injuries to all of their starters in a league.
They're not knocks. That's the thing, right? Like, these are not just training knocks. Like, these are just, it's brutal. Any standouts from Atlanta United's end, in your opinion, from the game on Saturday? You know, it's hard, like, coming off a loss like that, especially given that up. When did they score that? 78th minute. So it was a little later in the game to be giving that away when we thought we had rescued a point.
Right. I thought, so while I was watching the game, I thought, because Araujo, how many times did he get fouled? It was getting a little bit ridiculous at one point in time. Yeah, he had two fouls. Oh, he was fouled four times. And I think he managed to get maybe one yellow card and then got one himself, which was pretty frustrating. I thought Marcelino Moreno just keeps on going, but it's just, you just want him to give him just a little bit more speed and think he would be a lot more effective. And I noticed Hyndman actually had, the second goal from, I can't remember the guy's
Priso.
Name. Yeah. Priso was a rocket. And I felt like Hyndman could have done a little better in terms of closing him down. I think he was the closest guy to it. But Hyndman had the switch over to Araujo down. He must have switched that ball three or four times, but they were pinpoint. I thought he had a pretty good game.
I mean, that was one thing that really stuck out to me in the first half is I saw him. Yeah. I think on a couple occasions, basically playing an LGP ball.
Yeah.
Like he's playing it forward. He's playing probing balls. And I was like, this is not the player that people slate, you know what I mean? Like, because I feel like he gets a lot of criticism for being a lateral passer in the midfield, or like a backwards passer in the midfield. And I think he was actually, and maybe that's because he has Ibarra that's going to be handling more of the holding midfield role, that he feels a little more comfortable to go forward. Yeah, I thought the same. I still haven't, I love Emerson Hyndman. I don't hide it, I don't think, but I want to see him break out still this season. And I know it's tough coming off of that ACL surgery. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah. But he seems to be on the upward trajectory.
Yeah, I would think so. And he has to be, I mean, Pineda has to rate him. He has to rate him because like, it's not like Hosetto is playing poorly. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So he's to play it to him in the lineup, right?
So I don't know if he supplanted him because of talent. Well, I guess he, because Hosetto, I think, is coming back from an injury or a knock or something. Odds are he's probably an injury. Because he came out and was against, like, he came out before we played Pachuca. He was kind of out that game. I think he had an ankle or something.
So he was in the 18 against Inter Miami. He was in the 11.
Was he starting?
No, he was in the 11 against Columbus. He was in...
So Columbus was the last game he played before the break, right?
I think so, yeah. He was in the lineup against Nashville in U.S. Open Cup. Yeah, so he... or no, that was in MLS. And then... So maybe he is just working back, but I don't know. I don't remember him being injured, though. I thought maybe Heinemann was getting more fit. I don't know.
Well, I think when we became the AmFam champions, I saw picture of the team and he was in his suit and tie.
Okay. So, okay, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Is Will Bowron, famed New York Times bestseller author Will Bowron, asking, is Araújo our leading scorer now? I think he is. Right?
I'm going to tell you right now. I think it's still Dom in like all situations.
Yeah, that's what he said. Or Dom.
Wow.
It's Cisneros and Araújo are our leading MLS scorers at 4. Then Almada, Dwyer, Joseph, all at 3. Yeah.
But in all competitions, Dom's got 6 then. Or 5 or 6.
He hit a hat trick, right? In US Open Cup?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's got at least 6, right? Yeah. What do we have in the
trap? Who would have thought that?
Yeah, no, right? I mean, I think people thought that the earth was, or whatever, the world was burning whenever we signed him. For whatever reason, I don't know. Brittany S is asking, is Sosa feeling better? I don't know what's going on with Santi Sosa.
Last I heard, he was recovering from sports hernia surgery, got back in the lineup after he seemed to have recovered from that. And then I think he had an illness last weekend. So maybe he was getting back into fitness from then. I don't know if he had. I didn't see any report that it was COVID or anything. It was just like a fever.
Gotcha.
And illness, so.
I mean, it's hard to tell whether or not he is going to be a regular part of the starting 11.
Yeah.
Because I feel like even whenever he was healthy, I don't know that he was really starting, right?
Right. If we're going to do anything, we're going to need him.
We need a double pivot with him and Ibarra, right? Like I feel like that's the lineup.
Yeah, we've got to have some of these guys coming back. I can't remember how long Goopman's out for, but it's probably
8 to 12. So
it's 12. Okay.
So 12 weeks. Yeah.
It's good that Wiley was coming back. I mean, we do have Cisneros. After we play Red Bulls, Almeida's going to be available for selection against NYCFC.
That's still fucking ridiculous that happened. I know it's really stupid of him to lay his hands on the referee, but for them to give a 3-match suspension for that,
it's ridiculous. It's
egregious.
It doesn't make any
like
sense.
It's absolutely egregious what they did.
Egregious is the word. But you know, Ronald Hernandez should be coming back. So because I felt like, I mean, I thought McFadden was okay. I don't think he did enough to supplant anybody on the depth chart. So
did he earn himself a Major League Soccer contract?
No,
you don't think so?
I mean, I thought he was, no. I mean, he's surely going to be in the lineup for the next few weeks until Hernandez comes back and Hernandez can work himself back in. But it feels, I mean, it's because we don't have anyone else. I mean, I feel like we literally do not have anyone else. If he goes down, I don't know what we do.
Yeah, it's weird, right? Because it's one of the positions that you thought at the beginning of the season, okay, we're set, right? Like we have one of the better right backs in the league and Brooks Lennon. We have a great backup in Ronald Hernandez, and then we lose Brooks Lennon. I guess we haven't talked about that really, but We lost Brooks Lennon before the game started on Saturday. He was not even carted off. He was carried off by teammates.
Apparently slipped on a piece of rubber flooring around the perimeter of the field. So he wasn't even on the field when it happened.
You know, those, do they have, they're not a stadium that has a track around their field, are they?
No, I think it was just some sort of like flooring outside of the field.
I always wonder how those big stadiums that have the big, you know, Olympic track around there, like behind the ad boards, and have you see guys go over those? I don't know how they don't end up getting absolutely destroyed, like just absolutely destroying their knees or their Achilles or something. But
oh yeah, because you're falling on, gosh, it's like a rubberized. From what I remember when I last ran on a track, it's like some sort of rubberized, but it's pretty hard, like a rubberized asphalt almost.
Right. Yeah.
But it's not fun. It's a skin keeper. It will give you some pretty hefty road rash.
Yeah. So at the beginning of the season, I felt like we felt good about the defense.
Well, and now at the beginning of the season, we had Miles, Gutman, Lennon, Brad Guzan. We had those guys.
George Campbell was coming off the bench.
We had
as a third option at center back. Like
Walks left before the season. That's right.
He did.
So I mean, half of all of our. In fact, Franco's the only starter of the defense left.
Yeah. Ugh. that doesn't give me a good feeling at all. I mean, I don't know where we go from here, because that's the part that I feel has the longest term injuries, right? Miles, Guzan, Gutman's out till probably, when did he get injured? May, right? Probably end of May.
Yeah, and it was like 3 to 4 months, wasn't it?
Yeah, so you're talking September. So, which is an inconsequential return if we're not in the playoff run. So,
wait. I doubt we'll be in the playoff run.
Yeah, it's tough. It's hard to tell. I mean, again, I don't know if Toronto's a team that's going to turn a corner, and whenever they bring Insigne in, like what he and Pozuelo are going to do together. But
they probably won't. They seem to just come up and perform against Atlanta United.
Yeah, that's true.
So they'll probably
in the Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah.
Even with Insigne.
Yeah. All right, what else we have in here? Will Bowron saying just equip every Atlanta United player with life alert in case someone tears an ACL getting out of the shower.
Oh, gosh, man.
Let's see. Oh, Kendrick, he did correct himself. He said the good part about Brooks' injury is that a homegrown is his replacement when he meant as a draft pick. So I guess it doesn't go against the international spots.
And McFadden is also 23, so he may have a few years left of development, but you know, he may not get better than this unless he's a late bloomer.
Miles didn't start blooming until he was what, like 22? Is that about right?
How old is Miles?
Miles Robinson is 25, I think.
25, okay.
I think so.
Yeah, I think there was more hype around Miles.
Yeah, I mean, he was the second overall pick in the Super Draft, so I don't know where McFadden was, but I don't think he was our number one pick that year
either. I have heard good things about him in the twos.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he earned the call-up, right? I mean, injuries earned him the call-up, but he was still the guy who got tapped.
Got like a 5-minute warning. It's like, oh, you're in.
Yeah.
So he'll have a week of training with the team with the mindset, okay, well, I'm going to be playing on this weekend, so he can have a good run of practice. Guys can get used to him. Franco, George, Rocco can get used to him playing there, so they can come up to par. So maybe it'll be helpful. I'm not I'm not saying we're going to beat Red Bulls, but who've also been on a tear, but
yeah,
we'll see how.
So we have 2 weeks until our two signings from Mexico can make an appearance, right? So July 8th.
I think
8th.
It's July 8th, yeah.
Okay. So we won't see Juan Jose Sanchez Parada playing at center back until at least next weekend. And then same with Raul Gudiño. And I don't. What did you think of Rocco on Saturday?
I thought he was. I thought he was all right. He was okay. I like his distribution with his feet. I think the Araujo's goal came from Rocco starting the play and got passed upfield. So, I mean, he's been all right. He hasn't made any grievous errors like we saw with Shuttleworth. So I think more time with the guys, then he can do better. But I have a feeling that Gudiño is just going to come in and kind of take that starter spot.
Yeah, I mean, I think so as well. He definitely looked comfortable, I felt like, which I wasn't expecting this early on. I don't know how he should be expected to stop those two goals. I think those are more on the defense for giving space. I said, Osorio's goal was such a split second thing that sometimes as the center back, you win those and sometimes you lose them. I mean, he just guessed. I feel like Franco just kind of guessed wrong on that and kind of stabbed and lost that battle. But with Parisso's goal, I don't know. I mean, he's not going to be able to do anything with that. It's not like he can make that diving stop.
And he's screened by basically all the players on the field at that point in time.
Yeah, it's another added variable that I don't think people think about too, is just the obstruction that happens in that box with the vision. But yeah, I mean, I was happy with his distribution that, you know, you brought that up. He was very quick to distribute, I felt like, which I feel like Brad never was for all of his great qualities. And it usually would be a windup to kick it out of bounds. But yeah, I think you're right. Like, I don't think you sign a guy like Gudiño and bring him in to ride the bench. I think it will be a battle and it might take him a few games to get in, but I still think he'll overtake that spot.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I like the way that Rocco plays further upfield though. I really enjoy that.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I mean, there's comfortability and confidence there. And that's a good thing. And maybe sometimes it's going to bite him in the ass. It's fine. I don't know. I don't think I've watched enough footage of Gudiño to know whether or not he plays like that.
I don't think he does. So there is some spectacular highlights in his highlight package. There's also
low lights.
One own goal he did. They were playing Pachuca and he passed it out to his left back and his left back got under some pressure and passed it back to him. And in fairness to him, the ball did hit a divot and bounced over his foot. But I feel like you could have compensated for that if you were paying attention. It's like the left back passed it back to him and he missed it and it just went in the goal. So there's that one. But I mean, his highlights are impressive, just like anybody's highlights are. He's a tall, rangy guy. He seems to have a lot of spring in his diving ability. So I'm positive about it. It's just going to be how he can fit in with the rest of the guys on the back line.
Yeah, no, I agree. But it's not like you're going to be ripping out some like long-standing continuity by shaking it up right now.
You're not.
Yeah, there's not a ton of. I'm sure there's rapport there. You know, we don't see training and all that, but I don't know if that's really going to shake things up too much with the defense. Speaking of, do you think that Parada ends up slotting in for George Campbell?
I don't think Parada's played very much. I think he's a depth signing.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because, I mean, we need depth. And I think I don't think Campbell's going anywhere. I think it's a depth signing to help, because who have we got? Oh, I just had it and it went away. So we've got obviously Franco and George. DeJohn is just, I mean, he's 31 and he's exhausted. Efren Morales and Bryce Washington, I don't think are really ready, even though they are loaned. So I think he becomes depth for some competition with DeJohn. Plus, yeah, I'm sure you've seen his abs.
So. Yeah, that's about all I've seen, to be honest. I haven't gotten on the internet very much lately, but that seems to be they signed a thirst trap. So he's, so we'll see if he can play well. Yeah, I mean, those two guys.
I don't think it matters really, Tim. They'll just take his shirt off on the field and they go, oh, shit. Look at those abs.
I mean, how many people are punching themselves for not running Fernando Meza out of town, but I miss the guy at this point. Like, who remembers Fernando Meza? And then LGP, man, like, yeah, just looking back at that and just being.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
We had good guests. I mean, Anton Walks. I mean, somebody brought it up on Twitter not too long ago to us that, you know, I was asking who realistic signings are for you guys. And people are like, Anton Walks. You know, I think we have roster slot or two open. He's probably not that expensive. He's not really playing for Charlotte. He's a proven commodity in Atlanta. Like, why not try and bring him back?
Yeah, I just feel like Charlotte can gouge us because I think he has started. He was injured, and then I think he started playing with them. He played 90 against, trying to find some stats. The game before this weekend, he played 90. So
he's only played 3 matches for them total. Are they all recent matches?
He started, and then he had a long layoff. I'm going to have to find it.
Yeah, I don't think he was really in favor. So,
well, maybe now they fired the coach.
And they've been playing better. I didn't see the result this weekend, but they won their first match after they fired him, right?
They did. Okay, so, yeah, he's played 90. He played 90 against Montreal, 90 against Columbus, 90 against New York. And then
does that all coincide with Ramirez getting let go?
So 6-11. I think it straddles it.
Okay. So it probably, you're saying he was injured. It seems like maybe a combination of the two. I don't know. I feel like he was in the 18 for a lot of those games and he was just sitting on the bench.
He was in the bench against us, New England, Colorado, and Orlando. Then he wasn't in the squad against Miami, Montreal, Vancouver. Then he was on the bench in Seattle. And then New York, Columbus, and Montreal, he played the full game.
Okay.
So,
I miss that guy. Carlos Rangel in the trap asking, Dan, do y'all see a formation change with the lack of fullbacks? Maybe go back to a 3-5-2 like in 2019 after the Breck Shea injury.
So potentially, but
who's your third center back? I guess Parada, but we're still 2 weeks away.
It's going to be DeJohn.
I don't mind that.
That's the thing though. I mean, it's potentially he could do, it just kind of changes a fair amount because we have seen Sosa, we've seen Ibarra more recently slotting in between the two to form a back three when the attackers are going up. So we do have three guys in towards the rear of the team at that point in time. But then, I don't know, does Rocco help you not have a third center back? Because if you had a, if you've got a third center back, then you're missing someone up the front because you're still going to have a defensive midfielder.
Yeah, because what would that lineup look like? You would have, let's just say you slot either Dejan and then later probably Parada in. I do like Dejan, and I think in a three-back, he would probably excel a little bit. So Dejan, Campbell, Franco, that midfield is Wiley on the left. I mean, it does free him up to get further upfield and not have as many defensive responsibilities, right? So you have him. I don't know who you'd have on the right wing, I guess.
Well, you've got Araujo up top.
Yeah.
Joseph. You've got Almada.
So that five in the middle is Moreno, Ibarra, Sosa if healthy, or Heinemann or Hosato. And then I don't know who the right winger is in that five. I guess Almada. Or Almada's... Almada,
well, it's
comes
either
for
you
Wiley,
go with...
Right?
That's the thing. With the 3-5-2, though, I prefer to just play Joseph up top because the other guys are used to either roaming or they're used to being wingers. So I'm not sure what it gives you in that regard. I mean, yeah, you're doing something like Joseph Araujo up top and then some Almada, Wiley, Moreno, Heinemann, and Ibarra in the middle.
Where do you put Almada, though, if you put Wiley in? Because he's typically a left-sided player, right? Or center or central player?
Yeah, so you could put... Yeah, he would go towards the left.
You put right, Wiley on the right? Invert him?
I mean, you could... That's the thing. Like, Almada and Moreno will roam around to the right as well as the other areas. So it's kind of, it's almost like interchangeable at that point in time.
Okay.
So I mean,
it is a lot to ask to change that formation that way.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if you have more time, you can look more in the midfield and seeing how that could replace it. I just don't like throwing up a guy in a striker position when we've had zero consistency in this current formation that we're playing, and then you're switching to something else completely.
Yeah.
So I feel like with the way this season is going, you're going to just have to try and stay in this fallback. You know, it's like this 4-3-3 almost, to just try and have at least some consistency, even with guys just going in and out. Then you've got a common thread between whoever's had the most overlap to help the guys who are just coming in. So I wouldn't do, I'd stay with a back four and just try and make it work. Unless you just, I mean, to the people's point in the trap, I mean, if you just don't have any fullbacks at that point in time, then you don't have any choice. So
yeah, if we don't have fullbacks, what are we supposed to do? Yeah. And I felt like, maybe not to this extent with injuries, but I felt like Tata and I think to a certain extent Frank de Boer had their hands forced due to personnel issues as well, and that's what caused them to go to a 3-5-2. And I think it ended up being successful, albeit for like shorter spells. And I don't know, maybe shaking things up might help the team find a spark, but yeah, I don't know. It's going to be tough. You have a download for us tonight? Anything else from Toronto?
Ugh, no. Let's just move on.
Do you want to talk Gareth Bale before we move on to...
I love Gareth Bale.
New York Red Bulls.
When he plays for Wales, he's the perfect superstar to have because he's not just... He doesn't want all the limelight. He will play as the manager will require him to play, and he won't be like dictating terms. So I think his best form is in Wales. I think LAFC could, I think this is a great signing for them because he will help, you know, Zlatan wanted to be the guy and didn't think as anybody else as really humans. They were just peons, ants running around.
I mean, is he wrong?
Yeah.
Did you look at that LA Galaxy team whenever he showed up?
Yeah. I mean, they weren't that great. I don't know. I just don't like his attitude. But Bale's like, he will say, okay, where do you need me to slot in? And I can do what you need to do. And I'm really good at what I do. So, I mean, if they treat him better than Real Madrid, then I think that's the problem. If he can feel like the team wants him there and isn't just going to sit him on the bench and will have a relationship with him, then just like the Welsh national team does, then I feel like that's going to be how you get the best out of Gareth Bale, is to interact with him and not just, you know, sonnets him out.
Yeah. So I'm going to set the line, and this is going to sound ridiculous, but I'm going to set his goal scoring line at 19.5. And I know he's only coming in at like a half a season.
Wow.
And I know this sounds crazy, but I think he's going to go over.
Wow. Jeez. 20 goals?
He's too good for this league. Like, and then you have like a confident, happy Carlos Vela. The only thing I would see maybe leaning into it, but I don't think that he has that. I don't think he has that big head like people are saying. I don't know. I've never seen Gareth Bale seem like I've never seen him be the guy that's bigger than the team. If anything, like, he kind of took some abuse from Zidane and from Ancelotti at Real Madrid, and probably more so Florentino Perez, but he just took it on the chin and stuff. Like, he came in, beat Liverpool in the Champions League final.
Champions League with two incredible goals, and they still didn't care about him.
Right, exactly. He was the record signing at the point that they bought him, too. So it's not like they didn't covet him. It's just they listened to the fans because he's not Spanish, right? Or he's not... Yeah, I don't know. But I look at him coming in with a happy, healthy Carlos Vela and the way that the LAFC team is clicking. And one of those two is going to be a power vacuum for the other. Or just like, it's just going to be... I don't know. They're just going to be assisting each other on multiple goals a week, I feel like.
Sorry, go ahead, Tim.
I was going to say, I look at that signing and it seems like such a no-brainer for anybody in MLS. And then I start thinking, it's like, okay, LA, for all its flaws, probably still has a bigger draw for superstar talent than does Atlanta United. So we don't have same means or the same... you know, attraction city-wise to bring as much as I think we do, but like international appeal of those superstars coming over to, you know, coming over to MLS, they're probably going to be looking at Miami, LA.
Absolutely. Yeah. California. And, I mean, it's
exactly, California. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I agree with Carlos Rangel. The Giorgio Chiellini move does not make much sense. I do agree. I think he's going to get exposed. I don't think he doesn't play a position that it behooves him to come over during his retirement. You know what I mean? Like playing, what is he, 35 probably?
Something like that.
Giorgio Chiellini, 37 years old, coming over to play in MLS. It's not your grandpa's MLS. So
right. But if he can just get turned every week, I mean,
yeah. But I guess the only variable I was going to bring up is Steve Cherundolo is a pretty unproven manager at this point. It seems like he has control of that LAFC team, so I don't think that's going to be an issue with Gareth Bale. I do think he is going to just be banging goals in every single week because he's going to see the field every week.
Yeah,
he is. Which he didn't do for Real Madrid in the past couple of years. So I think that was absolutely incredible signing from LAFC. I think that has to make them title favorites at this point if they weren't already.
Yeah. I mean, you've got he could be a real benefit to, like, I'm just looking through their roster right now. I mean, Murillo's out there. He's needed some help with Abiga, I guess, because Abiga hasn't played that many games with them. It's difficult to say, obviously, but I think he really helps their center back depth. Maybe we could trade for one of these other center backs that maybe will be Eddie Segura. Anyone?
I would take Eddie Segura in a heartbeat. Would they get rid of him? Would they let him go?
No, no, no. They're not going to get rid of Eddie Segura.
Not knowing whether or not Chiellini's going to be like a actual good signing. Yeah, I look at their squad. Like, I think people forget they picked up Kellen Acosta this offseason. Their squad's pretty crazy. They picked up Tajiri Shradi from, first season from NYCFC.
Oh, via Charlotte, yeah.
Yeah, I think Charlotte picked him up in the expansion draft, and then I think he ended up in LAFC after that. I mean, they still have Brian Rodriguez, who somehow, I guess, is not a DP anymore. I don't know if they bought his fee or whatever his salary down. Tammed him down. It looks like they did. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, Murillo, who was with Murillo, was he with? No, I'm thinking of a different guy. That was with New York Red Bulls. Yeah, I mean, it's a crazy lineup. And they just got richer. It's just, do they still have Franco Escobar? Did I miss that?
No, they do. I think he's actually been playing for him recently.
Huh. I do miss Franco.
I miss him too.
Oh, man.
But
he'd be a hell of a right back to have right now.
Yeah.
Or center back. Shit. I don't know. All right. I don't think I can do the introductions that Kevin likes to do. And I think I have too much embarrassment to do that. Dan, do you have a download this week for the Thursday match against Red Bull? Do you want to do that one and or NYCFC? Both of them?
When do we play NYCFC midweek or something?
We play Red Bulls on Thursday.
Oh, it's Red Bulls is Thursday? Oh, shit.
I'm not crazy, right? We play Red Bulls Thursday at 8 p.m. in New Jersey. And then also, how bad is the branding that they call them New York Red Bulls and they don't call them Red Bull New York? Like the other two teams are, you know, RB Leipzig, RB Salzburg.
Because anyway. They anglicized it.
Yeah, that's stupid. Yeah, and then we play City on Sunday at 5 p.m.
Oh, shit.
I'm excited that this is no longer going to be a thing. We're either going to play on Wednesdays and Saturdays or just Saturdays moving forward. That's it. It's going to be awesome.
Well, as long as we beat Orlando. Okay. So Red Bull's fourth in the East, got 7 wins, 5 draws, 5 losses with a +7 goal difference. Oh, man, +7. Can you imagine? they've won their last 4 games, which isn't helpful for us. So they're in great form. Lewis Morgan has been an excellent incoming transfer for them from Miami. I mean, he's such a strong long shooter. He likes to shoot from distance anyway, and is very good with his crosses. Also, both things that we are not great at defending. He's been their highest ranked player, looking at SofaScore at a 7.17. Right in front of Sean Nealis is the second highest rated player, Christian Caceres. Luquinhas, the Brazilian, who has also been an excellent incoming transfer from Liga Warsaw from Poland in the Ekstraklasa League. So he's been great for them. He's chipped in with, I think he got 5 goals and 3 assists. And then Frankie Amaya ends out their top 5. They're all like separated by 0.0 points. So they're a great team. I mean,
they lost to LAFC
on the road at 2-0. So their last six. So yes, they lost to LAFC at LAFC 2-0. They beat Toronto at home 2-0. They lost to Charlotte on the road 2-0. They beat DC at home 4-1. They lost to Miami in Miami on the road 2-0 and drew with Chicago 3-3 at home. So it's kind of weird. Like at the start of their season, they have won, like, I think they got like 8 or 9 straight road wins. But now it's flipped because at home they've now got better. So, which also doesn't help us. So yeah, if you look at their style of play, they're great. They're very strong in long shot opportunities, very strong at creating scoring chances, aerial duels, defending set pieces, great attacking set pieces, stealing the ball from the opposition. Obviously, that's like the Red Bull style. Don't like to keep possession of the ball. They don't care about that. It's not even a weakness. And defending against through ball attacks. So that's kind of one of our strengths is through balls. And hitting on the counter, but that through ball is going to be absolutely key. And I feel like someone like Joseph Martinez and Marcelino Moreno, who can provide those through balls, or in Martinez's case, be a provider of and a receiver of those through balls. So this is all that's kind of pie in the sky thinking. I think we're going to get run off the field again with the aggressiveness. I think they're just going to attack at least experienced wings. I think they attack Caleb Wiley. I don't think he's going to do well under a press, and I don't think he's going to do well. I don't think Adam McFadden is going to do well under the press. I feel like you attack down that left-hand side with them and press. McFadden press. Depending on how Campbell and Franco do, it's going to be extremely key for them to be on the game. And I think it's going to be great to see how Ibarra responds to this, because Ibarra can be the guy who throws some elbows and gets probably an early yellow card, but he needs to be the guy who can help, you know, give some aggression, you know, turn it back on Red Bull and maybe punch them in the mouth a little bit. So, however, I think we're going to lose this game. I think we'd lose 2-0.
Yeah, I think I'm with you too. I think that's going to be a tough game for us to go into New Jersey and win. I don't see it happening. I think my optimism is breaking. I think it's just, I think it's completely dissipating.
Well, Brittany's even calling us for a loss. Brittany is calling us a 3-1 Red Bull win. Ugh.
Yeah, that's not something I expected to see. I think 2-0 is probably fair. Lewis Morgan, you talked about Lewis Morgan in your breakdown, and he's a guy who just, he shows out against Atlanta, and he's having a great season to begin with. Like you said, great signing by the Red Bulls front office. Mm-hmm. And again, it just has the history from his Miami days of just absolutely destroying us. So I don't think that's probably going to be much different, which is unfortunate. It's going to be a rough week.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be a rough week.
We go into NYCFC and the Yankee Stadium on Sunday. And that are they? They're the hottest team in MLS, right? They have to be, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they started off pretty poorly, even after Ronnie Dyla left. Still chugging along, no problems.
Yeah. Well, maybe Almada comes back and just, you know, turns it all around for us. But I doubt it.
Oh, I guess maybe I'm wrong. They lost to Philly yesterday, and then they drew with Colorado before. But they're still, I think I was just looking at the betting odds. They're still tied with LAFC for the best odds to win MLS Cup this season.
Yeah, but thing is, like, I don't think we're better than Philadelphia. And I don't think we're better than Colorado. So I think this is going to be, this season terrible? Could be yeah. close to MLS's back tournament, but just extended for.
Oh boy.
I don't think it's going to be that bad.
Yeah. Cause Stephen Glass isn't going to be there. Not going to be picking up the pieces. Right. That was his team, right? At that point.
That, yeah, well.
Part of it?
It was, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's tough. Yeah, I don't know what you have. You have anything for NYCFC other than nope. We're going to get throttled? Yeah, I mean, that team is, what is, looking at their recent form, where were they at? I closed out of it. Aside from that loss to Philly, they hadn't lost since outside of US Open Cup. They lost to Red Bull last week in US Open Cup, but
yep.
They haven't lost prior to that since,
holy moly,
the CCL semifinal in April. And if you don't count that, they did lose to Toronto. April 2nd. So they haven't lost in the league prior to Sunday since April 2nd. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Atlanta United still has not won back-to-back matches since September of 2019. We're going on 3 years since winning back-to-back matches.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That is... Wow.
I'm fairly certain that's the stat that they put on the screen on Saturday. Or maybe I saw it on the interwebs before the match, but yeah, I believe that is correct. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, it's tough. It's hard to swallow. Still have 2018 to fall back on, you know, still being a young franchise, but it's starting to fade a little bit. That found money feeling is starting to dissipate.
So the way I was thinking about this the other day, cause yeah, it's, we're going through some very difficult spells, but I believe that this team will win another MLS Cup in my lifetime, which here's what I'm comparing it to, Tim, is when you support someone like Birmingham City.
Why would you do that?
Well, I mean, that's what I mean. I know
you have
that Birmingham
two perfectly
City,
good clubs in Birmingham you can cheer for. One probably more so than the other now for my reasons, but yeah.
It's... Right. But it's just like, I mean, there is a very good chance Birmingham City will never be in the Premier League in my lifetime. Like, and they're not going to win a trophy. Yeah. So, but I don't have that feeling with Atlanta United. Like we have the resources, we're adaptable. Like they're always want to be on top. They're trying new things. So I can say that I think Atlanta United will win another MLS Cup before the Falcons win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, unless Desmond Ridder turns out to be something that I don't think anybody was expecting him to be. He's not just a poor man's Marcus Mariota right behind Marcus Mariota. Yeah, that is crazy to think about. Yeah, I mean, the days of Emile Heskey are gone for Birmingham City, right?
Oh my gosh.
Late 90s, early 2000s, Premier League, Birmingham City.
Yeah. What we can do to impact the landscape of football is produce players like Jude Bellingham and maybe Che Adams and here and there, you know?
And to take Nikola Zigic on his way to retirement.
Right, but it's we will sell them before they become very expensive and very good. So
yeah. I mean, you know, what are your thoughts? I mean, I think we're over time now. But Jude Bellingham, the fact that Real Madrid are already like trying to line up his 2023 contract.
Yeah, I mean he's
a special player, right? I mean,
he's a very special player, and he's a good kid too. He's not. He's humble. He's not a. He hasn't gone to his head yet.
Like Jack Grealish hasn't gone to his hair yet. Yeah.
Well, isn't it? I mean, $100 million player, and he's like, how many minutes did he play?
Yeah, how many match? That is interesting. I need to look at that now.
It's just ridiculous that you had him 100 million just sitting on the bench. Same with Lukaku, I don't know what Chelsea were doing with that. I mean, that's... Lukaku, I love Romelu Lukaku. I think he's a fantastic player, and I think he's worth 100 million, but what were Chelsea doing not getting him sorted out? So,
yeah. Grealish played 26 matches in the Premier League, which is more than I thought he did, but still...
Oh, that 11, is more.
Yeah. But still,
how many starts?
For 100 million, 100 million pounds, which is pretty close to $100 million these days.
That's
like 1.2 to the dollar right now, or $1.2 to the pound right now.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's not great. Starts. I don't have that in front of me.
That's all right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very, I don't know, man. They spend so much money on so many different positions, and they can just... I don't even know. I don't even know how they get away with it. It's not like they're selling players for a boon. Like, what did they get for Ferran Torres? They're going to get 45 million pounds for Gabriel Jesus, but I mean, what did they get for Ferran Torres whenever they sold him to Barcelona? Like, maybe 40 million?
Drop in the bucket.
I guess 60 million dollars. Yeah. I mean, it's a drop in the bucket. I mean, have they signed their 50 million pound center back this transfer window yet or no?
Who's that?
City over the past few years has just, they go make an ATM withdrawal from their oil money ATM. And then they buy the flavor of the month center back for 50 million pounds. Nathan Ake or John Stones or Ruben Diaz or Otamendi, or the list goes on and on and on and on of all these guys that they've spent all that money on and somehow escape financial fair play. Anyway, this is an Atlanta United podcast. For the people, by the people. It makes me think we need Morgan and Morgan to advertise on this podcast. But yeah.
Well, one thing to be kind of interested in, apparently there is a U22 initiative signing that they're looking to make. No idea who that is yet, but Pineda said in an interview that they're not done trying to make incoming transfers. So,
well, that's good. But what is that? I mean, Matthew Hoppe? I mean, we don't need really... I don't think we need a striker at this point. As much as I'd love to bring him in, we got to triage a couple positions, and I don't know any young players in those positions right now that we can afford.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. To be honest, who do you bring in at all right now? I know we needed a center back, but it's not going to be like an impact player.
Yeah.
Like, our impact players are Almada, Moreno, Araujo, and Joseph. Those are the guys we have to have on the field. And then those are the splashy signings. So unless you can bring someone in to either provide depth for across the back line, I think our midfield is pretty... there's a lot of guys in there, but we just need some cohesiveness. We need like a stretch of 8 games where you can send out a similar lineup.
Yeah, good luck.
So, which I don't think is going to happen this season.
No, I don't think so either. So, I don't want to say it's a complete loss because anything can happen. Team can catch fire. We find somebody who catches their stride from the twos or something like that, surprises the piss out of us. But it's, sometimes it's hard to not just like chalk it up to being like a rebuilding year. But what does that mean for the likes of Thiago Almada, Luis Araujo going into next season? What's the outlook of keeping them, especially when we don't perform the way we need to?
Oh, we'll keep them. I mean, Almada going after a year? No way. No way.
Yeah. I guess we'll see. You got anything else for tonight, Dan, before we wrap up?
Elliot Beaven saying Edwin Mosqueta is the rumored player for Atlanta. I know nothing about him, so he will.
Mascara. From Colombia.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah, I think Kendrick sent this to the Slack the other day. I forgot to look into him. All right, plays for...
Left winger, left midfield.
Yeah.
Plays for Club Atletico.
Aldo CB.
Interesting.
Well, that's Uruguay or Argentina?
The club?
Yeah, the club is Argentine. Okay.
Yeah. Honestly. I was on loan from Medellin. Oh my gosh, I'm butchering that.
Medellin, yeah.
Cool, man. All right, Tim. It's been great.
All right. Thank you for joining us. However you found us, make sure that you leave a rating or a review, hit stars and likes and all that good stuff. Leave us comments, even if it's spam, and just help that algorithm. I will actually get this podcast posted, unlike last week. I apologize for those of you who listen here and don't watch on YouTube. I was lazy. I don't know. I could chalk it up to a million things. You guys can find us collectively on social media at Home Before Dark on Twitter. That's home and B, the number four, dark. I don't know. I don't do this like Kevin does. Home Before Dark, B and four in the middle. Dan, anywhere they should find you. Are you on social media anymore?
Nah, not really anymore. Yeah, I try and stay away from it.
Yeah, it's a terrible place. I just watch YouTube shorts all day. Yeah, thanks for joining us. Tune in next time. We should be back next Monday. As always, be home before dark.
I got nothing, Tim. I got freaking nothing.